Progressive supranuclear palsy, or PSP, is a neurodegenerative disorder affecting the neurons in the brain. You may perhaps vaguely recall hearing about it in BV lectures as an undergraduate. Over time, PSP can have devastating effects on the motor system, robbing sufferers of their independence. It's difficult to diagnose and can be mistaken for other diseases. But a key feature which can differentiate the symptoms and point to a correct diagnosis are visual disturbances. The PSP Association, the only national organisation in the UK dedicated to the support of people with PSP, is currently campaigning to increase awareness of the condition, particularly among healthcare professionals. This is important because early detection of the disease can lead to a better prognosis. Kathy Miller-Hunt, a development officer at the PSP Association, talks to David Bull about the condition and how increasing awareness among optometrists may lead to its earlier detection. First, David asks Kathy to explain exactly what PSP is.
PSP is a degenerative and ultimately fatal neurological disease. It's caused by an overproduction of tau in the brain, which creates neurofibrillary tangles. Now, these interfere with the motor messages to the muscles. And the name supranuclear palsy refers to the area of the brain that controls voluntary eye movements. What we don't know is actually what does actually cause this.
Is it typical amongst certain categories of people?
Not that we know of. A lot of people talk about bangs to the head, but that, of course, could be a chicken or egg situation because of a fall, and falls are very much part of the disease. Somebody could fall and bang their head and then get the symptoms, but in fact the fall was the original symptom, so that's a sort of a difficult one.
Can it happen at any age?
Generally, the age is 50 plus. That's probably the lowest age group. It's normally 60 to 80 year olds, and it's even-handed in terms of male and female, and certainly ethnicity. It can hit anybody.
And what's the general prognosis of the disease?
The prognosis is that from onset to death is 6 to 7 years. There is no cure, and there is very little treatment specific to PSP. The drugs that might help in the early stages are probably predominantly Parkinsonian. Any other drugs just don't seem to have any effect. So currently it is purely management of symptoms.
And could you say a little bit about what those symptoms are?
Initially, probably the balance problems, and these cause falls, especially backwards, which is a very different thing to remember, and a shuffling gait. The visual problems include double or blurred vision generally. Also, unable to look down, and that's a very, very specific part of PSP. There is also light sensitivity in the eye, dry eye syndrome, and also an inability to close or open your eyelids. Other problems are difficulty swallowing and slurred and unintelligible speech. And eventually the person with PSP is bedbound and doubly incontinent, with little vision and no verbal communication. However, their intellect is virtually intact, which makes it a horrible disease.
Indeed. You mentioned particularly the visual and the ocular symptoms. Are they present most of the time when the disease occurs?
Because the neurofibrillary tangles happen in different places in the brain at different times, nobody follows a specific pattern, but everybody generally has a problem with eyes. And so this can be at any time within the development of the disease.
The visual symptoms could be an important part in differentiating PSP from Parkinsonianism.
Oh, very much so. In fact, Parkinson's don't have any of these visual problems that we do have in PSP. Possibly that some Parkinsonian people have difficulty looking up, but that's about the only eye problem that they seem to have. Whereas with PSP, it's very much part of the syndrome.
So an optometrist could play an important part in the diagnosis of PSP?
Oh, very much indeed. And this is why we are really sort of targeting them, because we feel that they could help a lot by noticing the very small things that they would notice that other people wouldn't notice initially.
And how would you advise them to act if they do pick up these signs and symptoms? Who should they refer the patient to?
Well, I think initially, if they notice, and there are some specific symptoms that I would like to highlight about that, certainly a neurologist would be the first port of call, or presumably referred back through the GP. But certainly a neurologist needs to do an assessment.
You mentioned specific symptoms. Here's your chance. What
yes.
are they?
The key features that I think optometrists could look out for are particularly eye movements. In PSP, the saccades slow down. So certainly in a pursuit movement, the eyes will move rather more slowly than normal. And sometimes there is a misalignment of the eyes, which can be picked up by the optometrist. And of course, the inability to look down and up, which sometimes people don't realise that that's what the problem that they're having. And you can imagine people trying to negotiate stairs or eat their meals from a plate, which is down there. And there is the what the Americans call the dirty tie syndrome, which means that quite often somebody with PSP will eat their meal, but they will actually drop stuff down their front because they can't actually see how to bring the fork up to their mouth easily. So that's a problem with the down gaze problem that we have. There is an eyelid problem too, and this can be slow blinking or non-blinking, which leads to dry eye syndrome, a blepharospasm, spasm, and the involuntary forced closure of eyelids, and apraxia of the eyelids, making opening difficult. So a lot of that can be seen and can lead to misunderstandings too around communication on a one-to-one basis, as the expression can look bored or not interested. And people can take offence at that or think that somebody's not really playing the game. There is also possibility of corneal damage. This is due to lack of tears, obviously, when eyelids are generally retracted in PSP. And this is very painful. And also there can be an allergic reaction to preservatives in false tear medications. So that can cause troubles on the cornea. Another symptom that might be noticed, which isn't necessarily to do with the eyes, but you might notice it if you were dealing with somebody, is that they would have an uncontrolled sit in the chair, which means quite often they can't sit normally. They kind of throw themselves into a chair backwards. And this can be alarming, but it's not uncommon.
So optometrists have got a role to play.
We very much think they do. And there are various red flags that I've just mentioned, really, that would make referral to a neurologist relevant.
And unfortunately, as you said, there is no cure or treatment. How beneficial is early detection and diagnosis to the patient's quality of life?
I think it's very important. If you consider that from onset to death is about 6 to 7 years, to know what you're dealing with at an earlier stage is very helpful. It's not a pleasant diagnosis, but it's necessary to sort of kind of get your ducks in a row and look after the patient in specific ways to manage the symptoms. It reduces anxiety and confusion about not knowing. I think the not knowing can be really quite stressful. And choices can be made about how to manage the symptoms. People may need to plan to move home if they've got a house that really is not suitable for what is going to be the process of the disease, where somebody then ends up bedbound. And also this allows support systems to come into play as early as possible. If you don't get a diagnosis but you need help, believe it or not, the benefit system doesn't pay out unless you've got a diagnosis. And again, one of the problems with not having a diagnosis with PSP is the age group, very often in the 60s, which of course is coming up to pensionable age. And unless people are aware of the problem that they've got before pensionable age, that's all right. But if it's after pensionable age, they don't get the benefits and motability stops. So there is a problem there.
Are there any other sources of information that you can recommend?
Oh, yes. Well, I think I would certainly recommend our website, and that is www.pspeur.org, which would give a full understanding of this dreadful disease. And also there is some bibliography on the website available there in the care and support section. There is also a very comprehensive article by David Solomon, MD, PhD, called Eye Movement Problems in Progressive Supranuclear Palsy. This is available on the internet. If you put just that in, you will get that up. We also have produced a poster for opticians highlighting some of the symptoms to look out for. And if anyone was interested in having a copy of that poster, then they could leave a message on the website and on an email to the head office of the PSP Association, and we will get them sent out to you.
Cathy and David, thanks. As Cathy mentioned, you can get more information on PSP from the Association's website at www.pspeur.org. And if you'd like a copy of the poster on PSP and eye problems, please contact the Association via the website. They can arrange for one to be sent to you. In addition, the paper by David Solomon, entitled Eye Movement Problems in PSP, can be found by going to pspinformation.com, and then following the link on the left-hand side titled Eye Movement Problems. These links can, as usual, be found on the OQ webpages and on the inlay.